Hey, welcome to another Pastor Duke podcast. Thank you for tuning me in. You are my world. So thankful that God has allowed this podcast to become a reality just a few years ago. Pastor John Westfall encouraged me to jump into this thing called podcasting. COVID was full-blown, and it has blossomed out into something far exceeding anything I ever dreamed of, and I pray God will use me to be a blessing to you. Today, I'm going to share with you a message I like to call, They Crossed the Line. I'll be in Exodus chapter 34 in just a moment. It's a message of warning to our world, to our nation, to our government, to ourselves, our churches. I hate to be confrontational, but it is a warning. Jesus spent a lot of time warning people. And I would trust and pray that the same Jesus who lives in me, lives in you, will exhort us, will warn us of things that he sees that we ought to see and take into account. In Exodus 34, Moses is up to his neck leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. Some of his leadership was fun, but most of it wasn't. Are you listening? There's a battle that we're in the midst of. He's heading back up the Mount Sinai again with the new stone tablets for the Ten Commandments to be reprinted, if you were, by the hand of God. Whereas the first set, he had crashed them before Israel, whom, while he was away the first time up on the mountain, they had made a golden calf, were dancing naked around us, ready to go back into Egyptian slavery. Oh my, depravity is not far away. When Moses arrived on that pathetic scene, he had thrown down the tablets and made them repent. So in movie terminology, what's happening in this event would be take two. So Moses is back up on the mountain. God chose to do something I find amazing. God gave an autobiographical introduction of himself. This isn't men trying to explain God. This is God himself telling us who he is. This is amazing. Exodus 34, 6, and the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in iniquity, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. God screams, I am merciful, I am long-suffering, but there is a clear limit to how long God says, I'm going to put up with all y'all's crap. Can you tell I've been in the South for a while? I've been told y'all is singular and all y'all is plural. But we might put it in this terminology. God draws a line in the sand. And that, my friends, should get our attention. Back in Genesis 6:3, God said pretty much the same thing. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. God will confront, he will confront, he'll confront, but there's a limit to his long suffering. When God spoke that in Genesis 6, he was calling Noah to build an ark. Bottom line, the populace of the world at that time had crossed the line of God's long suffering. Judgment was coming. We read on and get to Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, and we're at the Tower of Babel. And guess what God says and does here? Quote, now there is nothing that will restrain from them which they imagine to do. They have 100% at Babel tuned God out and were set to carry out their perverted dreams. Again, they had crossed God's line of long-suffering, and judgment was soon to be outpoured. Now we fast forward to Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. two angels are sent from God heading to Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is very grievous. Chapter 19, verse 13, and the angel says to Lot, "For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord sent us to destroy it." Again, Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities, they had crossed the line of God's long-suffering. Next day, fire and brimstone rained down upon them. And you can see the archaeological remains to that biblical incident to this day near the southern edges of the Dead Sea. It actually happened, and the evidence is there. I learned from this, never take God's long-suffering and mercy as apathy on God's part. He hasn't turned his back on anything. We are only 22 pages into my Bible, which has 1,566 pages, and now three times they had crossed the line of God's long-suffering. It happens to the worlds, the world as a whole. It happened to certain nations. It happens to specific cities, and it happens to individual people. They cross God's line. I bet Joel Osteen won't invite me to preach this message on it in his church, nor will Andy Stanley, for he says we must unhinge the Old Testament from the New Testament church. Shame on these so-called Christian leaders who cherry-pick what they will and won't preach from God's word. They'll soon be finding out they too have crossed God's line. Well, my rant is now over and back to the narrative. Oh, it feels so good to get that off my back. So now I fast forward to Jesus. We always got to come to Jesus and his warnings of what to look for in the last days before his second coming. Y'all knew prophecy would be jumping in here somewhere, so here we go. I'm now in Matthew 24, 37, Jesus' Olivet Discourse, where he lays out the global, not American, the global conditions for the time of his return. It will be, he says, as it was. What goes around comes around, history repeats. As Noah's generation crossed the line, so shall there be a terminal generation that likewise crosses God's holy line of long-suffering. He was tuned out then, and all three times, my friends, and you know, he's tuned out now. In our government, in our schools, in our culture, God's name is taken in vain billions of times every day. Christians are mocked as Noah was mocked for our trust and belief that Jesus will come again. The LGBTQ is Sodom all over again. Jesus is never wrong. What he said would happen is happening. We're going to focus now on what they did in those biblical judgments that crossed the line, and it's in our face all over again. All those three times of God's rejection are all back in our culture, all at the same time. Remember, Jesus says when you begin to see all these things converge, my return is near. Again, I say, Jesus is never wrong. First, we'll look at Noah, then Babel, then Sodom. We'll follow the biblical order. We know from Genesis 6:11, the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh. There's going to be a genetic situation arriving here. All flesh has corrupted his way upon the earth. What does this all flesh corrupted mean? Well, whatever it was horrific, and it definitely crossed the line of God's tolerance. It brought a close to the antediluvian age. We would say the pre-flood populace was done. God was heading towards judgment. I'm going to show you what I and many others think that corruption was. I believe it was a genetic corruption of the human DNA, the human genome, the seed line, the human part of the seed line through which the Messiah would come, mess up the genetics. Messiah can't come as God promised. And so we're going to look at a few more verses that I think makes this clear. We back up a few verses to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. I want to read them to you. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that the daughters were born unto them. The sons of God, we're going to identify who they are, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. Now, you know, generation after generation has gone on, there's not been this kind of talk. It's just been people procreating. But now something different is going on. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. See, they'd crossed the line. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Boy, something's going to happen now that the longevity that had been prior to the flood is over. There were giants in the earth in those days, never before, but there's giants now. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children unto them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the hearts, thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Oh my, something that had never happened before is happening, and whatever it is, it clearly crosses God's line. Who were the sons of God? Well, whoever they were, it is clear that nothing like this had ever happened before among men. Number two, God was furious about it, which tells me immediately that the devil was behind it. Number three, the genetic offspring of the sexual union were giants called men of renown. I did a whole podcast on this a year or so ago called The Genetic Apocalypse. I see the sons of God as fallen angels, demons, as we see from the book of Jude, leaving their natural habitation and leaving their first estate. God has reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness of judgment of that great day. That's from Jude, verse 6. There's only one chapter in Jude. The Greek word here for everlasting chains is the word Tartarus, a region of Hades, or we would say hell, where this select group of demons, guilty of this perverse sexual union of demons and women, they are in a solitary confinement area, Tartarus, a place of suffering, bondage. They are already locked up waiting for the final judgment where they'll be cast into hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But for that grievous sin of leaving their natural habitation, whereas other demons are still free to travel about, as it were, doing the devil's dirty work. Peter also gives specific information on this horrific crime on humanity in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, which I see as being directly tied to the Genesis 6 text. You'll see it as I read it. For if God spared not the fallen angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, again, the Greek word hell is Tartarus, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Their sexual activity was outside God's blessing box for sure. The genetic offspring were neither fully human or demon. From the text, it seems Noah and his family may have been the only humans holding out. As said in Genesis 6, 9, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. They were not corrupted by this demonic infusion into the human genome. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the end. Here's what we see in our generation. A whole lot of genetic fooling around. I'd say it started with cloning. Any of you remember Molly, the cloned sheep back in the 80s? Joan and I actually saw her stuffed corpse at the National Museum in Edinburgh, Scotland, a few years ago. There was a lot of ethics chatter in those days. Is science taking man outside of his God-given realm? Should we be tampering with the DNA molecule? Well, soon after that comes GMOs, genetically modified grains and other plants to grow crops using the herbicide Roundup, which is the motivation, and it certainly did increase the world's food supply, but it also contaminated the world's food supply. That's why we have so much cancer and other diseases rampant that were not part of the human experience even 100 years ago. GMOs multiplied in the food chain, then genetic modification of animals, and now slipping in with the never-tested COVID vaccines, the Moderna mRNA vaccines, which are not even vaccines. They had to redefine the word vaccine to squeeze in Bill Gates' contribution to saving the world. For the first time in human history, genetic human modification was introduced. Time will soon be telling what damages humankind has suffered from this. This is truly frightening and heartbreaking to me. Watch out for it, learn about it, walk close to Jesus. Well, we're here, gang. This world has crossed the genetic line, messing with the DNA molecule. God is the author of life, and methinks judgment has begun. All serious prophecy students need to go online and listen to Yuval Noah Harari. Yuval Noah Harari, H-A-R-R-A-R-I. He is Klaus Schwab's main science guy. He is Jewish. He is openly gay. He is brilliant. And you can sense the evil pouring from his mind and from his lips as he explains the globalist plans for the human race. Listen to him explain human 2.0, blending man with machine, downloading the dead into the living, hacking the human genome. I think he's crossed the line. We have all the sadistic violence of Noah's day. Did you explore what Hamas did to the civilian Jewish women and children on October 7th? Savagery can get no worse than what we're seeing in today's world. And I know savagery's been around for a long time, but man hasn't learned from it. We also have the mockery today that Noah had while he was building his ark. We are mocked for trusting in Jesus' soon return, as Peter prophesied we would be. Next, we look at Babylon judgment in Genesis 11. They defied God in refusing to spread and fill the earth. They tuned God out. They ignored him. Let us, man-centered, let us make a name for ourselves. We will get to heaven ourselves. We will build a tower to heaven. We don't need God. And there was not that restrained them from anything they imagined to do. God's long-suffering ran out. They, too, crossed the line. I like to call it kind of a soft judgment, as no one died, but the language confusion God bomb hit their brains, forced them to abandon the tower project and scatter around the world as he had commanded them to do. He kind of forced it because they no longer could communicate with each other. 7,000 various human languages exploded upon the human experience. Let the anthropologist try to explain that one to you. This world today has tuned God completely out. Listen to the UN agendas. Listen to the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum agendas. Look at the climate change gurus, all atheistic, all haters and mockers of God, all getting rich on pushing Satan's globalist program. Satan pays well. Next, Jesus points us to watch for all the evil of Sodom to return. And here we are with our government-favored LGBTQ XYZ agenda in control of our public schools. Who'd have thunk it? They stole the rainbow of God's covenant with Noah and made it their own blasphemous symbol. it's stuffed down our throats. Professional athletes are forced to wear it oftentimes on their uniforms. Obama lit up the White House with the LGBTQ rainbow. Our highest court officially adopted gay marriage as the law of our land. Our airwaves are full of men with men, women with women, commercials, sitcoms, and worst of all, our children's programming. The books in our school libraries, my friends, we've crossed the moral line. Judgment is coming. Disney promotes perversion and Satanism, and even Christian people support that. Think about that. Pray about that if you're not anti-Disney. I think you should be. The world crossed God's line, Genesis 6, Genesis 11. Cities crossed the line in Genesis 19. Nations crossed the line. Israel often did. God's chosen people crossed the line. Judgment came upon them. Kings crossed the line, and each of us have the ability to cross God's line. That ought to strike a little bit of fear into us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We were told in 2 Timothy 3, Paul's writing societally how things will be in the time of the end. This know also that in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves, man-centered, blasphemous, disobedient to children, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Sodom would be back. And all of that is here. And it says, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution in the time of the end. And we're here. That's why I bring this podcast. I believe technology has crossed the line. A generation has been mentally enslaved to their phones. Think about it. Children can't live without their screens. A new god, little g, has captured the global populace. AI is encroaching from 1,000 different angles. AI is next to omniscience. Elon Musk pushed it, helped develop it, hard, believed in it. Till last year, now he's done a 180. He fears it and warns the world about it. I hate to be a dookie downer, but we're going to have some good news here as we wrap this thing up. My conclusion, personally, draw nigh to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Tune people out. Eyes on Jesus. Don't let people mess you up about God. Let God straighten you out about people. Turn off your devices more and more. Read your Bible. Send your kids outside to play. Stay away from God's lines of judgment. Be ye holy, Peter wrote, for God is holy. Satan was not successful, hallelujah, to silence God's prophets. It wasn't fun to be a prophet. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, Elisha, Samuel didn't have adoring crowds. They didn't live in $12.3 million estates. They did not have their own private jets. Shame on the health and wealth criminals today preaching a false gospel. Will Satan be successful to silence you, to silence me? You see, our job, our calling, the mission we're on is called evangelism. Evangelism is an activist movement, not a passive movement. When one generation is bullied into silence, soon the silence will be enslaved into total compliance. It happened in Germany, 1933 to 45 under Hitler. It happened in China, 1948 under Mao. It happened in Cuba, 1959. It happened in Russia, 1917 under the Bolshevik Revolution. It happened in Cambodia, 1976, in Venezuela, 1992. My friends, it's begun here in the U.S. The same playbook is unfolding. As the Biden administration, Department of Justice, goes after Trump and the conservatives that oppose their agenda, litigating them, locking them up. As Germans bowed in fear to Hitler and churches feared to speak out against aggression and tyranny, It's happening all over again, with much of the church content to stand down in silence. The churches were government bullied by COVID compliance once. It's going to be interesting what they'll do the next time. And sure as the devil, there will be a next time. So, as God's line of tolerance was crossed in history, so it is being crossed again today on every front. The judgments of Revelation 6 through 19 will come as sure as tomorrow will come. Here's our calling. We're to grow, we're to learn, we're to serve, we're to stand, we're to speak up. As the prophets confronted their generation, so let us confront ours, and having done all, to stand. My friends, they crossed the line, and God moved. I believe God's judgment has sort of begun on our country. We're not where we were 10 years ago. And so I'm not going to go into anything deeper there. But trying days, the darkness is encroaching. But, you know, the good news is this. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We're on the winning team. These are the things that we face as we wait for Jesus to come. So let's keep our eyes on him. Let's keep our hand on that plow. Let's dig deeper into his word, draw closer to his church, lift up God's servants, pray for them. It's not an easy time to be a pastor. It's not an easy time to be a leader. Pray that God will expose the heresy. That's part of us, to stand against those who stand against him. So thanks for tuning me in. Hope it's a blessing. God bless. See you next time.